Meditations with Ryan Slomak.
Greetings, hello, welcome, aloha. This is the Meditations Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Slomak, and this is a show all about making space for conversations with interesting people just to see what we can learn and take away from them. And today's kind of a monumental episode. You're now joining me for the 20th episode of this podcast. For 20 episodes, I've been able to interview actors, performers, entrepreneurs, restaurateurs, critical thinkers, just interesting individuals who have fun stories to share. And I want to thank you for joining for this and for previous episodes, because your enthusiasm is what keeps this show going. So as I was thinking about the 20th episode, I was like, you know what? What do I want to do? I want to do something sweet. And instantly, getting Amanda Hughes on the show is what came to mind. Amanda is the owner-operator of the ice cream stand in Clinton Square in downtown Syracuse. She's a restaurateur. She's got some pretty cool announcements coming forward for future operations that she's doing. But she's also an athletic and an academic and just an amazing community builder. So I thought that bringing her on the show would be a great time to just have a conversation and consider the way in which we build spaces and community evolves out of those spaces. And I think Amanda is a prime example of the way in which you can do that in the business world, in the entrepreneur world, and with ice cream. What's not to love? So without further ado, here is Amanda Hughes. Amanda, thanks so much for being on the show and for helping to sprinkle Syracuse. I feel like every time I hear that tagline, it just you instantly pop up in my head like as just like dangling sprinkles around Clinton Square. It just puts me in such a good mood.
Well, some days I do that, and that's part of the fun of the job. But so happy to be here, Ryan. Thanks so much for having me. It's amazing.
Well, awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. And you grew up in Syracuse and you had a family of kind of restaurateurs. Your dad owned a business. Your mom did catering. Like, what was it like to kind of grow up in Central New York and have that kind of food background in your house?
Oh, it was delicious and warm and wonderful and welcoming and very boisterous. I'm from a pretty large Italian family. So, you know, food was always going to be at the center of it, regardless of whether my parents owned a restaurant or not. But it was really interesting to see that and to grow up in that environment, and also just to witness the entrepreneurial spirit and requirements from a very young age. You know, I always knew I wanted to have my own business. I had no idea what it would be. But I really loved that experience. And it, you know, it has stayed with me and certainly shaped, you know, how I move through the world today.
I love it. What were, so on this show, I can never not talk about food. So what types of recipes were like shared around your house, or like what were like the big recipes that were like made in the home? And then I'm also curious about like what kind of food work were your parents doing?
Well, you know, recipes, I mean, all things Italian, a lot of sauces. Like what I have the strongest memories of, and I can smell the kitchen right now as I'm talking about it, were, you know, coming in and making sauce with the tomatoes that, you know, my grandparents grew in their garden, and jams, you know, and jellies, homemade pastas. That's a smell. My great-grandmother would, you know, make pasta constantly, and that is such a distinct memory and a distinct smell, you know, walking into the kitchen and seeing that, and that I'll just never forget.
That's amazing. And what kind of, and I just don't know this, what restaurant did your dad run, and like what kind of food catering did your mom do?
Well, my mom managed the deli at Sweetheart, which was my grandparents' grocery store. So food goes even farther back. And so she would do all sorts of catering. And, you know, as kids, my brother and I would tag along to the food shows, which is funny because now I'm going to those specifically for ice cream. But so she would do all sorts of food, sandwiches, pizzas, salads, you know, a wide variety of things. And then my dad and his wife owned a restaurant that was, you know, Italian-American. It was in Clayton, New York. It was drawing like on the river. the St. Lawrence River. So they had, fresh seafood and all sorts of wonderful things. And, grew up working as a server and a bartender in the restaurant, when I was old enough.
That's amazing. The other thing it seems like you really discovered when you were younger was like a passion for exercise and sports. You eventually went to Duke and played lacrosse, right? But like, when did you kind of discover your passion and your interest in sports and exercise?
Honestly, as soon as I could walk, I think, and my parents could probably tell you that was my dad was my first coach and really, really instrumental and influential in my development through sports, my development overall, and also with mindset, which has been probably had the most profound impact, long term. But I just always loved being outside, always loved moving my body, running around, and trying new things. I love the idea of being challenged physically. I would love to try new things. Could I do this? How do I learn to, throw the softball, swing the bat, handle a lacrosse stick, triple jump, high jump, all of these things I would just love to try and just get out there and, like I said, just move my body.
That's amazing. I feel like it's always interesting to me how, like, no matter what happens, we end up picking up some of the most important lessons from our families, like, always.
Absolutely. They're, we're around them constantly. So it's just ripe with opportunity for better or for worse, right?
No doubt. And not to just keep things in the teen sphere, but I'm really you mentioned the idea that you learned a lot about mindset from your dad. And this is a, like we're both super young, right? Like we're the youngest, most hip individuals on the face of the planet. But like this is at a time before like the self-help revolution and, like How to Win Friends and Influence People might be like the most popular self-help book at that point in time where you're kind of learning these mindset techniques. What types of regimens or routines or just ways of thinking did your dad have that kind of rubbed off on you so early?
Well, I wasn't aware, fully aware until much later in life, and I have such a deep appreciation for it, but I realized it was the way he would talk to me, the way he would dwell in possibility, and coach me to be curious about different elements. And he was always very positive with me, and not just in the very specific lens of sports. And if it was running or lacrosse or something, that I could do this, that I've run these hills before, that I've hit this time before, I've seen this picture, whatever it was, the very specifics of that, but that I could really do and be anything in life, which sounds a little cliche, but the way he really talked to me, the opportunities he showed me, and the people that he had me around and talked to me about really continued to, like I said, keep me in this realm of what's possible. And everything seemed possible and available to me if I was willing to learn and certainly put in the work.
Do you remember what your first like aspirational career goal was when you were a kid?
Yes, there were two, and this was consistent. So I can't remember which came first, but I always was fascinated with the earth and gems and stones, and I wanted to be a jeweler, just to be around these beautiful things and also to find them wherever they may exist, around the world. And then slightly different avenue, but I wanted to be a backup dancer for Janet Jackson.
I think those are both, they can still happen. I have faith in
They
you.
could still happen. Some would require much more effort. One would require much more effort. But yeah, if that's a little window into, what I was up to, what I was enjoying, it was music and dancing. No surprise, moving my body, and then the beautiful natural world.
I think it's important to reflect on those things. Like when I was a kid, my mom always brings this up. My first career goal ever was we went to the circus and the guy got shot out of the cannon. And for like 10 years, I wanted to be that guy. Like still today, I want to be that person. And I think it's like important to always have those aspirations, no matter what age you are.
Yeah, right.
There's value in imagination.
I'm open to more artists at this point in time. I would gladly be backup dancer for any number of artists. So it's not just Janet Jackson anymore.
All right. You heard it here first that if anybody needs backup dancers, Amanda Hughes is available. Fact.
Very true.
So you ended up going to Duke and studying sociology and playing lacrosse. Like what made you go there, and what were your, what did you really want to take away from that college experience?
Well, I always loved academics. So my dad was a teacher. So I grew up with an appreciation and a respect for, learning and the academic world. And I really understood that athletics was because I valued both. I really loved athletics and academics equally. And I was very talented in both arenas, fortunately. And I realized pretty quickly that athletics would open doors for me and allow me to attend universities or colleges that I might not be able to get into strictly based on academics. I was a very good student, but I don't know if I had just applied to Duke, would I have gotten in? We'll never know, and we don't have to. But I was really attracted to very prestigious academic institutions, and I just really wanted to utilize, like I said, my athletics to get me in the door because I was aware I wasn't going to be playing professional lacrosse, when I graduated. So that seemed like the smartest course of action. So I was, looking at UVA, Johns Hopkins, really all sorts of schools. And Duke, when I visited, was just a beautiful campus. The team was wonderful. And I just found it to be a great fit, the right fit for me, right? And it really was. I still get giddy sharing that. It's even more fun being back home in Syracuse and, people knowing that I went to Duke or having them find out I went to Duke and, they're disappointed at how much they enjoy me or the fact that we're already friends and they didn't know this, horrible piece about me.
We'll welcome you back. It's okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, then you ended up going to LIU Brooklyn for business administration and marketing as well, right? What like I that's the part of your education that I'm really, really curious about because it has the most direct correlation to where you kind of ended up. But what was that experience like? Kind of, you're at Duke, you eventually make your way to New York City. Where you're there for quite a while. Like what was that New York experience like?
Gosh, I love New York. And that was a pivotal moment because I'll back up. So I had started coaching. I was asked to start a women's varsity, the first women's varsity lacrosse program at Weddington High School in North Carolina right after graduation from Duke, which was really exciting and not anything that I had planned on doing. And that was a real pivotal opportunity because it opened the door and I realized how much I loved coaching. I realized that I was pretty talented at it and that I wanted to try this at, higher levels. And I had an opportunity to coach at Davidson. And then I realized, that I didn't want to coach forever. This wasn't the environment and the arena for me professionally long term. But I knew that it could help me transition and that I could use grad school and coaching to, or I could use coaching to assist me through to grad school. And then I could hopefully, find this dream career outside of the sports world. And, LIU Brooklyn was really really powerful because I got to be in a big city, you know, like New York, which was where I wanted to be. I wanted to be closer to home. I had an opportunity to intern and then work at Madison Square Garden, which kept me involved in sports, but really was a different side, and got to work with, you know, real high level clients, businesses, and individuals. And I just really wanted to use that time and space to help me shift gears. I found a lot of people were having trouble. I was applying for jobs, and it seemed like people couldn't get past the fact that I was a coach, even though I had a bunch of skills and a bunch of experience that were, you know, in line with marketing and design and PR, community development, outreach, all of these things. But it seemed like people just saw, you know, lacrosse coach. And so I realized, or I thought it'd be helpful to have, you know, this MBA to kind of shift gears. And that's exactly what it did for me.
It's interesting. I was thinking about bringing this up later, but this might be the good place for it, where, like, I think for people who are in a position where they do a project or something that they're constantly thinking about, all of their previous experiences will always wrap into it no matter what. And like, always. And it's like, it's fascinating to me, like, when you hear from employers or you hear from people who are on projects who, like, they look at a resume or they talk to somebody and the only thing they can see is how everything does not relate, without asking the question of, like, how does your coaching experience relate to the way in which you're going to work with a client or something. Like, working in education, teachers always, like, shiver when I say this, but, like, the number one place I learned how to be a good educator was working at summer camps. Like, that was, you know, like, understanding, like, oh, this is how I maneuver people. This is how I get people excited. This is how I solve problems quickly. This is how I pivot. You know, like, if I went on an interview and people are like, whoa, you know, where'd you learn your educational practices? And I'm like, oh, well, during a water balloon fight. Like, it doesn't, you know, that might not be the greatest, I don't know, direct connection. But I'm curious about, for you, like, what, as a coach, what types of components of your coaching do you feel that you brought into that kind of marketing world?
Yeah, well, that's actually really where I was able to distill that it was marketing in essence. You know, I was marketing the school, I was marketing myself, the coaching staff and the team. And that's where I really realized, oh, these things that I love doing, these things that I'm good at, creating connections, communicating, designing, marketing materials, right? This is all under this one umbrella. And that's where I really realized, okay, this could be a focus within the MBA. And this is, in fact, the language that I need to use. So some of the things I loved outside of, you know, the direct coaching and conditioning programming from, you know, a sideline, were researching places to go when we would visit, you know, restaurants, things to do, connecting with recruiting is a huge aspect of any program, right? So I loved creating templates and communications that would streamline that process. So if you pick up a kid, you know, you can drop them into the sales cycle, so to speak, in the appropriate point. And then you've got communications laid out for where they are and where you want them to move going forward. And so email, you know, newsletters. I love anything, which is part of why I loved sports, you know, personally and professionally, is the live aspect. So I would love hosting events, like junior day, and inviting people to campus and creating an itinerary for them, anything where I could connect with people, create experiences for them. That was really fun and really powerful and, you know, really impactful.
That's awesome. I mean, I think that's a prime example of, like, when I hear coaching, like, my instant thought was like, all right, what is she like in the locker room? And that's like one gazillionth of what you do as a coach. And all the other things are what wrap into what makes your ability to look at everything holistically.
Right. Yeah. There's all sorts of, I mean, I love giving the pregame speech, the halftime speech, I love, and again, all of that is messaging, that's marketing, that's communication, it's psychology. And it all comes back, my experience again, growing up as an athlete with the tremendous coaches that I had the pleasure of working with, and my father specifically, and being able to utilize those experiences and understanding how that impacted me, and then being able to share that with, my teams. And extending that, my teams at the ice cream stand, I'm still a coach in that aspect as well. It's just different content that I'm teaching.
Well, let's bring ourselves back to Syracuse then, right? So you do the New York thing, you move back to Syracuse in 2015, and you're kind of looking for opportunities to partake in and eventually create the ice cream stand. Can you tell us the sort of, like, for lack of a better term, like, origin story of, like, the ice cream
Yeah,
stand?
because that was a very random move back to Syracuse. It wasn't planned. It wasn't, expected in any way. I ended up here and I thought I would move back to New York, to be honest, but then things really started happening here. And I had started a little marketing company. I got a little DBA and started to pick up some clients. But then there was an opportunity to start this ice cream business. And I thought, wow, I could really do this. What a beautiful pairing of my educational background and all my life experience. And I thought this would be so much fun. This aligns perfectly with me personally. And I want to go for it, So I created everything you have seen for the ice cream stand for the last 8 years in a matter of 3 months, to be honest, when the opportunity was presented to when I opened on April 1st, 2016. That was a 3 month turnaround. So every element you saw from the brand, the logo, the language, programming the POS, finding equipment, finding funding for that equipment, staffing, everything was done in 3 months. And I always think about that because I'm still amazed and impressed and just wowed that was able to transpire.
There's also something beautifully ironic about the fact that you opened on April Fool's Day.
I know. And I remember again, just being this marketer and being so aware of the messaging and all of that. I remember thinking, wow, what a great branding opportunity to be like, no joke, we're opening April 1st. Come on out. And it's still very playful. And yeah, that wasn't lost on me. I was like, oh wow.
So
This is
how.
the
Yeah, like I think that when a lot of people we're gonna really dig deep into the ice cream stand, but like when a lot of people think about the business of ice cream, like the only two things they think about are if it's a nice day, I'll get ice cream, and it's a business that is open seasonally. You know, like they don't that's kind of the place where the brain goes. And I'm just curious about, like, you didn't only create an ice cream stand, ironically called the ice cream stand, you created an entire vision, and an entire, like, just like, I don't know what term I'm looking for, like structural system in that 3 months. And I'm curious about, like, you clearly jumped into this not thinking like, cool, I'm gonna scoop ice cream and go on vacation. You went into this whole thing being thinking, all right, this is gonna be a community-oriented initiative. All right, I need to make sure that there's room for growth in this business model. I need to make sure that my, when I say messaging, it's not just, hey, we've got these flavors. It's like, this is the culture of our business. And all these different things. And I'm curious about, like, as you started this business, not where we are right now in 2024, but like when you started this 8 years ago, like what was your sort of vision of this establishment?
I mean, it really was to be very much what it is and what you saw. I mean, my vision was, like you said, first of all, thank you so much for the kind words and seeing, and feeling that presence, because that is exactly what I wanted. Before I even thought about ice cream, I was thinking about live music. and community events and ways to bring people in. For me, ice cream is just the vessel. And it could have been anything, but it happened to be ice cream. It's quite perfect for me. And it was really the opportunity to create a place for community, for people to gather and to connect, to grow. And also, I didn't quite realize this up front, but I knew it'd be a little piece, but it's really been a big part of it. I love changing the conversation and the narrative around food, especially a food like ice cream. And again, especially for women, you know, we see people impacted by their relationship with food across the board, but women have a very unique relationship and experience with food for a lot of different reasons. And I've found it to be a really important opportunity to share and kind of shift the mindset around, like I said, something like ice cream that is, you know, demonized or not looked at in such a great light. And it's really not necessary.
That's interesting. What, and you started off, and I'm going to apologize if I'm getting my, my timeline mixed up, but I believe you started off in Liverpool, and in next to Coralife Eatery and Hafner's, and then eventually made your way to downtown. And I'm curious about, like, you know, that space, you know, starting off, kind of in the suburbs and building community that way. Like, what were your hopes and aspirations for you kind of incubating the business in that location?
Well, I had just really hoped to share this vision of community and connection and creativity, you know, with the community. It was really well received. And, you know, I had lived downtown since I moved back home and spent a lot of time downtown. And it was really beautiful that downtown had approached me and was really wanting me to, you know, bring the business there as well. And I was really fortunate, really excited to have the opportunity to do that and, you know, to grow and have indoor seating, be open, be able to be open more of the year if I wanted to, and to be able to connect with the community that I felt most connected to, you know, the downtown community, that vibrant community, people living and working downtown and from all over. So if people are visiting too, you see a lot more people pass through. You have student populations from the various colleges and universities, and you know that those students are from all over the world. And it was just a much more diverse place that I felt more comfortable in and was excited to serve. Yeah,
I love it. I want to have a moment of visioning just for our listeners who are not from the Syracuse area or are having a hard time kind of visualizing what's going on. You know, the first location of the ice cream stand was kind of the traditional walk up window,
correct,
you know, model where you step up, you get your ice cream. There might be some picnic tables or chairs around, but it's primarily in front of a giant parking lot.
Right. And you get your ice cream and you go. You may sit in your car, you may leave. And the downtown space, it has beautiful indoor seating, three walls of windows facing Clinton Square, which again, if you're not from the area, is one of the beautiful squares in my mind, the most beautiful, a lot of history. It's a real center and a real hub. All the festivals and concerts that take place throughout the summer happen in Clinton Square, right in our front yard. And it's the perfect home for the ice cream stand, truly.
I love it. And just if for anybody, if you're not from here, I strongly encourage you Googling Clinton Square and just seeing there's an ice skating rink that's there in the winter. And then it was featured in the movie God Bless America by Bobcat Goldthwait and a bunch of other little things. But it's so cool to be able to like drive into Syracuse and, you know, you're staring right down where the Erie Canal used to be. And the thing looking right in front of you is the ice cream stand looking at Amanda's amazing business. What was, so you like very ceremoniously, we made the joke about sprinkling Syracuse, but you very ceremoniously like sprinkled sprinkles in the foundation of.
You saw
I
that
did. Like when you were making that space, like tell me about the build out.
news clip.
Yeah, the build out and the making of this space to sort of make it your own and make this Syracuse community hub.
That was so incredible. And I'm very visual and operate very intuitively. And, it's interesting. And you talk about growth and expansion as a business owner, well, personally and professionally. So downtown had been, talking with me, wanting to get me downtown. Just look at the space, look at the space. And finally, I was like, I'll look at it, no problems, but I'll just look at it. And then I was thinking, and then, this will stop. Well, when I walked in the space, I saw everything. I saw the people, I saw the counters, I saw it all. And I knew it was where I was supposed to be. So I thought, how can I make this happen? And that process was really exciting because I'm the first tenant that's been in that space. There were no floors, there were no walls. And I got to really create that space and carve out exactly what I wanted, which is exciting. You don't always have that opportunity, and have that opportunity so early in your business career, your entrepreneurial career. So that was really fun and exciting. And I got to dive into some other skills like negotiating contracts and a build out schematics, all sorts of design elements that I wouldn't have otherwise. And it's really serving me well for this new project, which we might be talking about later.
Keep listening, listeners. There might be an announcement coming.
But yeah, it was wonderful to be able to create exactly what I wanted and what I needed based on flow and equipment and just how I wanted to serve from that space. So it was a beautiful experience.
Yeah, like so did you had Did you have any experience kind of working with contractors and like figuring out places and understanding how water lines work and, like all of this purchasing and this direction that you would need to do to do that build out?
No, I sure didn't. So, anyone who's listening, there were 0 days I dreamt about having an ice cream stand. I never worked in ice cream as a kid, like I learned everyone else in my network has. Don't let those be any barriers for you. You can figure it out. So I had no idea about those things. I always enjoyed design and creation. So that was exciting, but just really learned and listened and got to take away information that way.
The reason I just want to focus on that for a second is because I think that like as we age and as we get more mature and hopefully more confident, like there's so many times at which I reflect on my own career and I say, whoa, like forcing myself to daydream about possibilities is the reason I was able to do this thing 5 years down the road or 5 weeks down the road or 5 minutes down the road. And like, you could have stepped into that space and said, like, I have this whole vision, but like, I'm going to defer to the specialist in the room or whatever, as opposed to saying, I'm going to ask questions of the specialist in the room to make sure I can make this vision come forward. And like, I think that especially for like young entrepreneurs or just anybody, like, it's really important to realize that, like, a recurring theme that I have when I talk to successful people like you, is that. Most people attain that success by letting themselves daydream and letting themselves take the risk and saying, you know what, I don't know this information right now, but I'm willing to learn it to make the vision come true.
Right. Yeah. And then, it served me so well because I'm able to have more educated conversations and more just insight when I'm meeting with people now at the new space. And if I ever open up another space, I'll be even more equipped. And it's all a progress. It's all a journey, right? But I just keep building to the foundation, and I'm just too curious. I can't not ask the questions, I want to learn and grow in every way. So, yeah.
That's awesome. A little bit about the sort of like running of the ice cream stand. I'm curious about the way in which you envision products, you know, like the way you in which you decide like how you're going to prioritize ice cream flavors. Or I know you guys, you make your own waffle cones, I believe, you
Yes,
know,
I love making
which is
waffles.
great. And I'm curious about like that sort of balance. And then I want to dig a little bit more into the nitty gritty of like how it operates. But can you tell us a little bit about like your sort of like product decision making and the way in which you kind of like highlight things for the space and for the community?
Yeah. Well, you know, you were talking about allowing yourself to daydream and things, and that's what I spend the entire off season doing. I mean, certainly I dream in season, but it's a bit tougher, you know, when you're open and you're in the day-to-day grind. So I spend all of my off season just dreaming and doodling and making notes and lists and journaling and thinking about what else is possible, you know. And I watch and observe other people all over the world that are doing things and outside of the industry. That's where I actually find a lot of inspiration, is in other industries, and utilizing things that have worked well, you know, for other sectors of business. So I definitely listen to the community, or I try to. You know, that's a whole interesting that's another conversation, because people have ideas about what you should be doing all the time. But I know what works for not just my business, you know, but for me running that business. You could have the same business, and because it's a different person operating it, they could be able to do different things based on their capabilities and their values. So I try to think about certainly what the community wants and needs, and then what I am willing to provide and offer, and what I want to share. And, you know, I love, I love creating and making new things. And when I opened, I had always wanted to make our own ice cream. And then I realized that was a lot, not only to learn, you know, as someone who's starting this business in 3 months, but also a lot of extra equipment. That was a lot of extra finances. And I figured, why don't I just start here? You know, I don't need to reinvent the wheel. But now, you know, 8 years later, I am finally going to be making my own ice cream. That's something new that we're starting this year. And so I think about flavors. I think about certainly like what's trending, so to speak, and what is seasonally available. I love to highlight a new flavor every month, because, you know, it gives people a reason to come in. It gives us internally a reason to stay excited and learn about new things. And then I just play, you know, and festival season is another opportunity to play, like with Taste of Syracuse, there are new things to create or to think about in terms of sample sizes to pass out, you know, what looks, and in the back of your mind, you're always thinking about what's Instagrammable, right? What's going to look good, shared on social media. What do people want to see? But I'm really just thinking about what's going to taste great, make people feel good, put a smile on their face. And also a big part that I haven't talked about is also what's sustainable. You know, what can we sustainably source, sustainably package, and sustainably share with people?
I love it. I'm going to go for the really cheeky question, but like, what's like your favorite, or what are your favorite things on the ice cream stand menu?
Oh my gosh. It depends on the day, the weather. That's always fun. But I love the soft serve, you know, is just so delicious. It's local, it's super fresh, very dense and creamy. And people comment all the time that they've never had soft serve like our soft serve. And, you know, if you haven't tried the soft serve, come in and try the soft serve. For hard ice creams, I'm doing anything that's coconut or coffee, or caramel. Those are kind of my go-tos. The homemade chocolate waffle cones are amazing. I love those. I know they're a fan favorite. Every now and then I'll do a flurry. I'm not a big, you won't find me. I will do sprinkles, But I like to really taste the ice cream and let those simple sweetness shine through. So I'm not jacking it up with all sorts of candies or other goodies. But yeah, I'm keeping it simple.
I have a hard time saying no to your ice cream sandwiches. That's
Oh,
you
those
know,
are great.
they're
Well, and the Sweet Praxis, makes the cookies for those for us. So another female-owned business right across Clinton Square. And yeah, those are also a fan favorite.
yeah, and I
And
just love every time I eat one, there's two parts that just bring me joy. One is that I get to watch someone make me an ice cream sandwich. Like someone is fabricating it in front of me, which is so cool. And then number two is that like it tastes like collaboration. You know, like I can just I know that like all these businesses and these people are communicating and saying, you know what, hey, we could do A, B, C, and D, but no, we want our chocolate chip cookies from these people across the way that also have a sustainable business model and have a similar mindset. And I think that's amazing. It's great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I love that. I know, and they're totally customizable. So that's always fun. And people get excited about it. They're like, wait, I can get anything I want. I'm like, yeah, anything you want. I'll put it in this ice cream sandwich for you.
It's
You know,
great.
and then mind blown, we'll roll it in sprinkles or some other topping if you'd like. And people love it.
It's great. So you alluded to the idea that people oftentimes, and I'm saying this also as a business owner, like I've experienced the same thing where no matter what type of business you operate, everyone will have a different idea of how you should operate.
Sure do. And they have a lot of, they don't just have one idea, but every person has many ideas about how you should operate.
Absolutely. And I'm not putting this out there as a way to say to people like, hey, take a step back. We don't care about your opinions. I don't think that's the case, but I do think there's something to be said about being a business owner and knowing what's best for your business because you understand yourself and you understand the mechanisms that are in place. And one of the things that was really fun kind of while I was researching you for this interview is that you talk about the fact that like you try to operate with like a small team intentionally. And the systems that you put in place are very strategic. And I'm just curious about like if we look behind the scenes of how the ice cream stand operates, like this we're operating right, we're interviewing right now at a point at which you're getting your team together for the season. And I'm just curious about like what I'm curious about two things. One is what do the sort of systems in the background look like? Like how are you utilizing your team and what are your expectations of your team members? And then secondhand, what types of skills are you looking for people to be these community-facing individuals at your business?
I love, again, being a coach. I love training, I love teamwork, and I love coaching. And what I realized early on, no one wants to scoop ice cream for forever or as their, professional gig, right? So how can I keep people interested and make it worth their while, really? As they're, I tend to get a lot of young or younger employees. And I'm like, how can I really help them build their resume so it's a win? I don't like to do anything unless it's a win-win-win, right? So I'm like, how can I make it worth their while? So I always offer to, well, for lack of a better word, customize their experience. So if there's, let's say, someone who's interested in marketing or graphic design, well, okay, you'll come in and you can scoop, but you could also, in the spare time or behind the scenes, create marketing materials or content for us, for social media, for the website, for events that we're doing. And people get really excited about that to have their own personal stamp on the business. And it's also really impactful for young people to see their work and their impact in real time, in a real, this is my livelihood, in a real life business, right? And they can add to their portfolio. So I tend to get people because of the messaging that I put out, right? That are community focused, that are creative, that like to have fun, that are positive and warm and welcoming. And I'm very, very grateful for that. So I, those are things that I look for. And like I said, because of the things that we kind of communicate and share, on social media, those are the types of people that I see expressing interest in working with us. And then for the team, I love trainings. I usually do one large team meeting at the start of the year, and that kind of outlines everything. And I think that's very important because I like to bring people in and let them know that this isn't just a job, you know, that again, this is my livelihood. This is how I fund my life. These are very important people that come in to the shop. They have access to all sorts of community members, which could be really advantageous for them, again, as they're just starting their professional careers often. And I talk to them about our mission, our vision, our values. You know, like I'll share our values, our proactivity, playfulness, and positivity. So I talk about those elements and how those guide our actions, how those inform our actions at the ice cream stand, right? And it's unique. And I really love the opportunity that ice cream presents to be playful and to be positive, because you don't always see enough of that today. And it can be really discouraging and really, really challenging, really hard. So I love providing that opportunity for young people who, again, are some of the people that are struggling most with some of those things. And also empowering them to be an outlet and a provider of those things, the positivity and the playfulness for, you know, for the community. And I, of course, teach specifics on, you know, how to scoop ice cream. It's very technical. How to make the cone, make all our menu items, all of those things. And then there's conversation about language and communicating. You know, you might imagine in terms of sales, it's important how to communicate with the customer to generate sales, you know, sell different items or more items, and also how to address people, right? How to acknowledge them and their humanity, and making sure that we're inclusive and warm and welcoming in our language. And that's something that continues to expand every year, but has always been something that has been communicated by me to the team, because it's very important and is a big part of the experience. And I think based on what I see and hear, you know, a big part of why people enjoy coming to the ice cream stand. And then the last big thing that I incorporate is emotional intelligence. I have in the past just done that for managers and upper level team members, but it's something that I'm going to provide for everyone this year. I think it's important, you know, life skills, and that's what I enjoy doing for the team too. Again, because I typically see a lot of younger people, there are definitely professional skills that are taught and learned, but there are really valuable life skills just about how to be a human, and yeah.
Oh man. So many places to go with this, Amanda. I'm so jazzed. I want it. The emotional intelligence thing is huge. I mean, I once again, like, I just love the fact that, you know, like, you are thinking so critically about every element of the business, and most importantly, that, like, the people who are coming to work for you could work anywhere, right? They have so many choices, and you are creating something where by the end of this season, by the end of this experience, you have transitional skills and a confidence boost that you can take elsewhere. And
that's,
I don't,
the goal.
Yeah. And I think that's just the beauty of a small business, and the beauty of, like, the heart of this, like, the Central New York experience, where we're saying to ourselves, like, in order for our own community to be sustainable, we have to ensure that the people who work for us are growing as well.
Right. And that's, you know, you said small business, and I am, you know, it's like, it's just me. Sometimes people come in and it's like, I don't know who you think's running the show, but there's a human behind it. And yes, this business has a soul, you know, and it has a personality and all of that. But but it's me, hi. And so yes, and it's a small operation, but nothing about what I do feels small. The impact I want to have, the messaging, the teachings, the vision for it. And I think that's true with so many small business owners. Nothing about that is small. But my footprint, my team, those things, yes, are probably small, but the vision, the development, the way I think about my business, none of that is small. It's a lot more than ice cream.
Well, and let's talk about that. One last question is that you talk about the values that you're, that the ice cream stand has, and it's positivity and playfulness. Is that correct?
And proactivity.
Productivity,
Proactivity.
proactivity.
Yeah,
Awesome.
taking initiative. Yes.
I just think that's so important. Like I think everyone who's been in the American school system can think about a time at which a teacher said, "All right, we're going to create rules for the classroom." And, like you huffing and puffing and, trying to find gum under your desk, like while you're ignoring the challenge. But I really sincerely believe that that activity, whether it's for a sole proprietor who owns a business saying, "You know what, when I bring people in, these are the values I want to instill," or for a group of people saying, "Hey, for our business, this is what we want to do," I think that's some of the most important like work you can do. It is the guiding light for your company. Can you tell me a little bit about kind of coming up with proactivity, positivity, and playfulness as your values?
I do a lot of reading, and that was after I had read Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. That's a book that's still out on my coffee table, and I reference it all the time. But I was just thinking about the essence, because again, I wasn't just thinking about ice cream. I'm thinking about, okay, how am I gonna train this team? I'm not there all the time. So how am I going to train this team to deliver on this vision and to create the experience that I want people to have, that they would have with me, with these team members? And one of the things I always share too is that individuality is important. And I think that's another big draw. So I don't have scripted things for people to say. I have threads of ideas or a general essence, and then I'll give examples. This is how I say it. This is how so and so expresses this. Find what works for you. But the messaging we want to share should, the takeaway should be the same. But you find a way to say that that works for you. So I was really distilling and trying to get to essence on what I could create for a foundation for the ice cream stand. And it's very clearly, I mean, if you know me or have seen me out and about, playfulness and positivity are just radiating from me. I can't control it. That's where I want to be. Those are the spaces I want to exist in. That's what I want to share with everyone. So those are a perfect fit for the stand. And then proactivity was, a not so subtle way to and try to embody this action-oriented, this action-focused idea for the team that, we really want to take initiative. And that's something I really try and coach, even if it's not the quote-unquote correct action, taking some action is important. And then we can correct or have a conversation after the fact, because again, I'm not there all the time. So it's important for me to empower the team, to understand that I trust them to make decisions and to do what they think is best and needed in the moment. And then we can always learn and grow, if it was less than ideal after. But that's how I came up with those three. It was pretty clear. And then it was also nice because our focus internally is our three other Ps. It's people, product, place. So when we talk about, again, things to focus on, we're thinking in terms of people, product, and place. And all of those things, start at the very base level, like people, like, did you greet this person when they come in? And then it gets more tiered and more nuanced and even more detailed as you go. So once you kind of really grasp and feel really comfortable and competent with like these foundational elements, then it's like, okay, let's build on that. So try asking them about this, or did you hear them say this? Let's address this way. You know, let's ask them if they want to add these things or if they want to try this within their ice cream. So we're always kind of thinking and building and growing.
I love it, and I don't mean for this to be like I don't know, a ploy, but like for my business, the Skillshare Arcade, like we're always when we're communicating with our employees, we're saying like, all right, people, you know, maybe they're coming here to play pinball, but in reality, they're coming to be part of a community. They're coming to have a social interaction. They're coming to feel comfortable and at home. And I think that like I can't tell you how much joy it brings me, Amanda, to just hear you talk about the way in which you're training your employees to focus so much on the environment and the vibe and just making sure that people know that they matter and that they're, you know, they
Right.
feel valued when they come in. Because I think that like one of the things that doesn't get talked about enough for, you know, for running businesses is that the most rewarding part of it oftentimes is the community that gets built because of the values that you set out. And, you know, like I'm sure you feel this way sometimes, but it's like so great to like step in my own business and just say, oh my God, like this is an entity that's running itself, and it is so many people are finding value in this. And every time I step into yours, I feel the same way. Like it's just so nice to step in there and just say, you know, like, okay, like I matter. My position here matters. Like every choice of what I'm getting is implementing and radiating to the rest of the community. It's just so empowering and so comforting.
Oh, thank you. That makes me feel so good. And you said it best. People are always coming for community. Like you were talking about what you're doing. And you know, it doesn't matter if they're going into a home or where they're going to a show, or it's always all about connection and community. People are always coming for that. You know, I always tell the team or people, you can go get ice cream a lot of different places, you know, and very close. So why are people coming to the stand? And it's very clearly because of the community, you know, that we create and the people that are there. So yeah, it's very important.
Yeah, like I'll give you something as simple as like the idea that like I step into your space and I am having a great time interacting with your employees who are just bar none the best, obviously. And you know, like they're helping me process what sort of suite I need in my system. And then when I leave the space, like I feel empowered to like further explore Syracuse. Like that is something that is like within that whole, I don't know what I'm looking for, like assembly line of experiences that like when I'm done, I don't want to hop in my car and like rock an ice cream cone. I want to walk around Clinton Square. I want to look at the sky. I want to be so proud of where I am. And that's so much more than ice cream.
Yes, and I love that you touched on that because that is another element and a piece that I do talk to the team about too, because of who I am. You know, I'm such an ambassador for the city, and luckily know so many people who are doing so many things. And again, just our location, people come in and they're always curious, like, oh, I want to play pool. Where can I go? Or I want to see this, or where, you know, visitors are always like, where can I go and see this, or, you know, shop around or whatever. And we have a really great opportunity to highlight places. So that's part of the education and training for the team too, is understanding that they're now ambassadors for the city too, and they should be prepared to, you know, share their favorite spots or to be transparent and say, oh, I've never been there. I don't know. Or you know, just to engage with the customers and share more about what's going on, you know, with the city and with our downtown community.
I love it. So, you know, you spend a lot of time thinking and doing things related to your business, obviously. But I also completely admire you for being so dedicated to self-care and to doing things for you. And I'm curious about like, obviously, you grew up ready to just run marathons. But like, what is it, you know, like, what do you do for you to give yourself the physical space and the headspace and the physical conditioning to be successful and just to get the most out of your life outside of the ice cream stand?
Yeah, wow. Well, you know, I don't I the first thing that came to mind when you said, you know, that was Everything I do is for me. Like everything I do serves me and, you know, most likely serves other people too. But I will definitely take time and space that I need. I love moving my body. It helps me. It's like a moving meditation. It's very therapeutic. Helps me process information, let go of information, and just be very present. So I love whether it's running, yoga, swimming, riding my bike, walking. I walk a tremendous amount through neighborhoods and just trails wherever I can. Dancing. You all know how much I love dancing now. So I do a lot of movement. I read. I will meditate, journal, listen to music, travel. And I mean, the big theme that kind of guides all of this is that I also live very seasonally and very cyclically. And I'm so grateful that my business allows me to live that way. I know that's not how everyone can exist. So I am very grateful that the ice cream stand does shut down in the winter and that I can take that winter season, which is all about reflection and going inward and this deep, deep rest and hibernation. You know, if you think about what you see in nature, that's really what we should be doing, you know, to whatever capacity, to the extent that we can. And I'm very, again, fortunate that I can really settle into that season because I need to. I need to rest and renew before I reemerge in the spring. And, you know, I'm cranking 7 days a week, all day, every day with this business. And so, yeah, living seasonally and living cyclically, I'm pretty vocal about how I operate with my menstrual cycle and the periods of rest and higher energy involved in that. And I set up my business that way, my scheduling for myself and my activities, you know, so when I have energy to do more things, I'll be working and doing things. And when I'm supposed to be resting, you know, I might be updating website or emailing or doing things behind the scenes that I can do from a more relaxed state.
That's awesome. And I feel like I always appreciate how much you communicate the fact that like, hey, here are the business things that I'm doing, but hey, here's also like a run that I'm going on because I need this for me at the moment. And for people that are like listening, and I'm not asking you to sit there and bestow the, you know, life-changing advice, but like for anybody who is kind of trying to figure out their rhythms and trying to figure out how to start to figure out what they need to do for themselves, like what's some advice that you might give somebody who's kind of, you know, like, hey, I want to make some changes and I want to figure me out.
Yeah. The first thing and the most helpful thing I would say is to find some stillness and to slow down. You won't be able to hear, you know, that internal voice or feel those things and have any sense of awareness if you're in this heightened state or if you're constantly on the move, which is the expectation in so much of our society, right? So I would encourage people to really slow down and find some stillness and some quiet where they can really reflect on things. And then I always invite curiosity. So you have to be curious to start asking questions to really get answers that you want. Like if you want to know how you can be better for yourself, to yourself, you've got to really start asking questions and then be willing to listen to the answers. And sometimes, you know, you'll hear it, but for me, it's a feeling. And I think, you know, we can all relate to feeling really energized when we're with a person or feeling really drained after we're with someone or after we have particular conversations or after we eat or drink certain foods. You know, or if we didn't get enough rest. So It can be overwhelming because literally every aspect of life you could start analyzing. But I would encourage people, like I said, to slow down, to find some stillness, and then to figure out some key areas where they want to be curious, and just to start small, because some small changes really go a long way.
I love that, and I think that please correct me if I'm wrong in the way I'm interpreting this, but in the realm of like accepting stillness is something that I think as we're, you know, there's an irony that you and I are communicating through Zoom at the moment, right? Like there we're constantly bombarded with communications and imagery, and maybe you're at work and then you leave and you go and you do social media on your phone for a while, and then you sit down and you watch Netflix, and then at the end of the day, you're drained and you're saying to yourself, like, why do I feel this way? Like getting comfortable with silence and getting comfortable with nothingness is such a hard thing for some people that I've, you know, in my experience, right? You know, hey, how did you come up with this solution? And I'm like, I just sat in my car in a parking lot for 20 minutes and closed my eyes and just let myself think. And people are like, are you a maniac? Like, who does that? I'm like, I did that for 20 minutes and I came up with a really cool idea. And I think forcing ourselves to say, I'm turning off the phone. I'm just going to chill. I'm not going to read anything. I'm just going to see where my mind wanders. And if we start to allow ourselves to recognize where the mind is headed, we can often find the answers that we've been searching for days, months, years, lifetimes, you know?
Right. Yes. And if stillness and silence feels overwhelming or too much, you don't have to strip it all down and be this Zen Buddha, sitting there in this traditional meditation that we think of, go outside, just be outside in nature, listen to the birds, even hear the cars, listen to the water running. If you're by a stream, you can be by a stream or a creek or something, or put on some music or some music of any kind, some frequencies, some instrumental or lyrics are fine, something that's going to move you, and like dance, or just let that be the thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be literal stillness and silence, but being able to strip away, I think, the screens and some of the technologies that really impact us and change, the dopamine and the things in our body. When we are outside of those things, we respond and react very differently.
Yeah, I
So
always.
find what's going to work for you, and like I said, just start small.
Yeah, I always think about myself as like I'm at a traffic, like my body is a traffic light, and there's like things kind of passing through it, and I have to just force myself to say, you know what? I am not letting any traffic, any communication, anything flow through me for the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, and all of a sudden you become a lot more comfortable with these procedures moving forward. Sorry, did you?
Oh no. It's just in total agreement with you. Love
Go us. Well, so
it.
speaking of total agreement, we are both in agreement that we're remarkably excited about what you're going to be doing next. And if I understand correctly, and I'm so excited to say this, you are working on a business called Cream and Coffee Cafe in Skinny Atlas, that is going to be a sort of a dessert-focused, ice cream-forward business that is going to allow your creative powers to just float into a whole new level of existence. So, can you tell us a little bit about what we should be expecting from you, Amanda?
Yeah, oh my gosh, and this is wild because this is the first time I'm really sharing this in this way. So, Cream and Coffee is the name of the place, and it is a cafe concept, and like you said, dessert forward, ice cream focused, because that's what I know and love. And this will definitely allow me to expand food wise, beverage wise, on some of these things. The ice cream stand has a pretty clear focus, right? And for a while now, I've wanted to expand and grow and build a different menu. And I didn't really have the opportunity to do that reasonably at the ice cream stand. And Cream and Coffee will allow me to do that. So I'm really, really excited to share this beautiful space with everyone and continue the community connections and all the good times at this new spot with beautiful views of Skinny Atlas Lake, by the way.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And I think for listeners who are not familiar with upstate New York, Skaneateles Atlas is a small community that's about a half an hour west of Syracuse, New York, and is on an amazing, amazing lake called Skaneateles Lake, where I'm not a huge nature person, but every time I'm just like walking around that body of water, I feel like I'm transported to like a new level of relaxation. It's just a beautiful town, and there's just the veneer of the buildings are just historic and beautiful. And it's a very tight community. It's a community of people that are really there to support one another. So I feel like your visioning and your values are just going to fit so nicely into this new community.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's the hope. The Finger Lakes region is so beautiful, and Skaneateles is like you said, a really vibrant, very quaint village, and I'm really, really excited to be a part of it and to share, what I do with all the people who pass through Skaneateles.
It's going to be great. Are you comfortable telling us some sort of like menu items that you're kind of playing around with or you're interested in doing?
Well, I am playing with the idea of cream in its various forms, and this will be a big focus. So you'll see, sweet cream and ice cream and things like that, and then you'll see butters and just different varieties of cream that will be for, breakfast, lunch, and some dinner type items. Not a super expansive menu. Again, we're going to start small, but the idea was really to showcase cream in its various forms and not just be so focused on ice cream, but that will still be a big part of what we do.
Well, it's going to be great. I mean, I can just already having not seen the space and not seen the venue, but the one thing I can envision is just coming back to this idea that like, ice cream at the ice cream stand is a vehicle for me to feel empowered to explore Syracuse. And the idea that cream and coffee is going to be these series of items that encourage me to explore another town, explore Skaneateles, and feel empowered for that. And I'm just really excited about that experience.
Yeah, and you'll be exploring, you'll won't be able to just explore the village, but you'll be exploring other locally sourced products and other businesses that I'll collaborate with to provide these menu items. So that's another big piece. Again, the seasonality of the locally grown items and locally sourced items that we have here, because we're really lucky in this area to have such an abundant resources for food and beverage. So that's really beautiful. And I, of course, want to showcase all things local. So you'll be exploring a lot, from the coffee, from the creams to the coffees. So even more to look forward to.
Well, that's awesome, Amanda. So for anybody who is interested in kind of like following these developments or just following you, what are some good places to find you?
Yeah, you can definitely find me on Instagram. My personal account is Amanda Hughes, and you can also follow the ice cream stand. At the ice cream stand, I'm still in the process of securing the Instagram handle for the new business. You can also visit theicecreamstand.com and creamandcoffee.shop. And also my personal website, amandajanehughes.com.
So many cool places to go. So, Amanda, at the end of the show, I always want to make space just for anything that's been floating around your head or topics that maybe we haven't covered. Is there anything kind of on your mind that you want to put out there?
Wow. Well, I just want to express so much gratitude for the invitation to be on this podcast with you. I really appreciate what you're doing and the impact you have in the community. It's wonderful, and I feel so honored to be supported and recognized by someone like you in this way. And I just want to encourage people to follow along and to continue to support local business owners and to remind them to have grace for the people who are doing things in their communities, because there's so much that goes into it, and we love what we get to do, and it's a lot of fun, and it's not easy. So continue to support in any way that feels good for you, every way that feels good, and just continue to show up for one another.
Yeah, if you're okay with me kind of riding the coattails of that real quick, I think that like the thing that makes Syracuse, New York important, or it, not just important to me, but I think important as like a landmark for other towns and for the rest of the country, is that it's a town where the most important kind of cultural landmarks were created by people who had passion and were willing to pound pavement to make something happen. Mm-hmm. And I want to just further your statement about it doesn't mean they're perfect, and it doesn't mean that everything is going to match what your vision is of what the community should be. But when I look around Syracuse, I can't find an angle where I'm not proud of somebody for really working their butt off to make our city even more wonderful and welcoming and considerate and special and unique.
Right.
And I think that's what separates us from a lot of other towns. And we have to encourage people to put their footprint into the city, because that's what's going to keep us growing and keep us more amazing.
Exactly. It is never easy to put yourself out there in any way. And you might not agree with it or understand it, but I think you need to respect it, you know? And there are so many people doing so many amazing things here, like you said, and I'm really proud and grateful to be a part of this community.
Well, Amanda, we're happy to have you, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Again, I want to thank Amanda Hughes for coming on the show and just being so open and honest and positive. Man, I'm like electric right now. I want to maybe start doing Pilates again. Or I'll be like Garfield and I'll start my exercises tomorrow. That's when most people start exercising. Either way, Amanda, so great to have you on the show, and I am over the moon about cream and coffee. If you want to learn more, at this time, now there are some web spaces you can visit, creamandcoffee.shop. You can find online, you can sign up for her newsletter there, or Cream and Coffee Shop on Instagram, and the and is A-N-D. So once again, please go check out the work that Amanda Hughes does, and treat yourself. Go get some ice cream, walk around Clinton Square, look at the stars as they just present themselves for you after a beautiful Syracuse sunset. Moving forward, we've got some pretty cool stuff happening on the Meditations with Ryan Zlomek podcast. We're going to flash back in time for our next episode on May 8th to the late 1900s, or as I like to think, the 1990s. And we're going to think about times when you were walking through school and all of a sudden the Scholastic Book Fair was happening, or you went to the library and you discovered these colorful books, or you went to the bookstore and there were these amazing sort of creepy covers that were looking at you, because they were the covers for a book series called Goosebumps. And if you're unfamiliar with Goosebumps, Goosebumps was written by R.L. Stein. It was a 62-book series, all of individual horror stories. It was kind of the horror anthology for children. And the covers for those books sparked the imagination of millions and millions of people. And next episode, on May 8th, for episode 21 of the Meditations podcast, Tim Jacobus, the artist, the painter, the imagineer of all of these amazing covers, is going to be on this podcast talking about his history in art, discovering himself as an artist, his sort of self-conscious nature, and what he's been doing since painting all these amazing covers. It's a very awesome, heartfelt, humbling conversation, and I am over the moon to share it with you. So once again, episode 21 of this podcast, May 8th, with Tim Jacobus, is just going to blow your minds. And I encourage you to go to the library and pick up a Goosebumps book, maybe look at the cover, perhaps even read it just in preparation. Thanks again for listening to this show. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe, rate the show, and most importantly, pass it on to friends. If you're interested in what I do in the space of my pinball company, my educational work, or just the inherent shenanigans of a media artist, you can find The World of Ryan Zlomek on Facebook and Instagram, where I reside. Once again, that is The World of Ryan Zlomek on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks again for listening. It means the world. And don't forget to make space for conversation, because you just might learn something.